Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Cywar: Enforcing the New World Order is a political and social commentary work by Robert W. Malone, MDMS, co-authored with Jill Glasspool Malone, PhD, that examines psychological warfare as a tool of modern governance. The book belongs to the nonfiction category of government criticism, information politics, public health controversy, and civil liberties advocacy. Its central purpose is to argue that propaganda, censorship, behavioral nudging, surveillance technologies, and coordinated institutional messaging have been used to shape public perception and limit dissent, especially during the COVID-19 era. The authors frame these methods as part of a broader movement towards centralized social control, which they connect to administrative power, global governance, and what they call techno-totalitarianism. The book is not a conventional policy manual or academic history. It is an argument-driven critique aimed at readers concerned about free speech, constitutional rights, medical freedom, media manipulation, and the role of government in defining acceptable public debate. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, psychological warfare as a domestic tool of public opinion management. A central theme of the book is the claim that psychological warfare is no longer confined to foreign battlefields or military deception campaigns. The authors define cywar as the coordinated use of propaganda, censorship, psychological operations, and information control to influence public belief and behavior. Their concern is that tools originally associated with wartime persuasion have migrated into domestic politics, public health communication, and institutional messaging. This framing allows the book to treat media narratives, expert consensus campaigns, and online moderation not as isolated controversies, but as parts of a larger system of influence. The authors emphasize that psychological control does not always require direct coercion. It can operate through fear, repetition, social pressure, selective visibility, and the stigmatization of dissent. The practical implication is that citizens may comply with policies not only because they are legally required to do so, but because the information environment has narrowed the range of socially acceptable interpretations. This topic gives the book its organizing lens and explains why it links propaganda, behavioral science, censorship, and governance under one broad concept. Secondly, COVID-19 policy debates as a case study in fear, compliance, and dissent. The book gives particular attention to the COVID-19 period, treating it as a prominent example of how emergency conditions can justify expansive communication control. The authors argue that pandemic messaging often relied on fear, moral pressure, and institutional authority to produce compliance with health measures and to marginalize contrary interpretations. They connect this to their broader concept of psychological bioterrorism, meaning the use of fear surrounding biological threats to shape mass behavior. This is one of the most controversial parts of the book, because mainstream public health institutions generally present pandemic communication as necessary risk management rather than psychological warfare. The authors, however, focus on the consequences of suppressing debate over treatments, mandates, vaccines, and policy trade-offs. Their argument is less about one single measure than about how crisis conditions can normalize a centralized information hierarchy. The reasoning is that when uncertainty is high, the public becomes more dependent on trusted authorities, and that dependency can make dissent appear dangerous rather than necessary. The book, therefore, uses COVID-19 to illustrate the vulnerability of democratic debate during emergencies. Thirdly, censorship networks and the administrative state as mechanisms of control. Another important topic is the author's view that censorship is not only a matter of individual platforms removing content. They describe a broader relationship among government agencies, bureaucratic institutions, media organizations, academic authorities, and technology companies. In this account, the administrative state does not need to ban speech openly if it can shape incentives, apply pressure, guide moderation standards, or delegitimize certain viewpoints as misinformation. The reasoning is that modern censorship can be indirect, distributed, and difficult to challenge because responsibility is spread across public and private actors. The authors are especially concerned with what they describe as a censorship industrial complex, in which official power and private infrastructure combine to narrow permissible discourse. This theme ties the book to broader debates over free speech, platform governance, and state influence over digital communication. It also explains why the authors repeatedly return to constitutional principles. From their perspective, freedom of speech is not only a personal right but a safeguard against hidden administrative power. Fourthly, surveillance capitalism and technology as tools for behavioral targeting. The book also addresses surveillance capitalism, the commercial and political value of collecting personal data at scale. The authors argue that digital platforms, smartphones, social media systems, search engines, and data analytics create unprecedented capacity to monitor attention, segment populations, and deliver targeted influence. Their concern is that behavioral control becomes more effective when institutions can identify emotional triggers, social networks, preferences, and vulnerabilities. In this framework, propaganda is no longer limited to mass broadcasts. It can be personalized, repeated, measured, and adjusted in real time. The book connects this technological environment to the possibility of techno-totalitarianism, a system in which surveillance, digital identity, automated moderation, and algorithmic ranking reinforce official narratives. The reasoning is that the ability to control visibility may be as powerful as the ability to punish. If certain information is amplified while other information is buried, the public may experience a managed reality without seeing the management process. This topic distinguishes the book from older critiques of propaganda by focusing on the data-driven infrastructure that makes modern persuasion more precise and persistent. Lastly, free speech and constitutional restoration as the proposed defense. The book does not present resistance primarily as a technical solution to propaganda. Its proposed defense is political and civic, centered on free speech, constitutional limits, and personal sovereignty. The authors argue that truth is best approached through open argument rather than institutional filtering. Their position is that even false, offensive, or unpopular speech should generally remain visible, because suppression gives authorities the power to decide what citizens are allowed to examine. This is a strong civil libertarian claim, though critics may argue that it underestimates the harms of misinformation in public health or security contexts. The authors respond by treating censorship itself as the greater long-term danger, because once restrictions exist, they can be redirected toward legitimate dissent. The call to restore the Constitution and Bill of Rights is therefore not symbolic. It is presented as the practical framework for limiting government overreach and protecting citizens from psychological manipulation. This topic gives the book its prescriptive dimension. After diagnosing propaganda, administrative power, and technological control, it identifies open discourse and constitutional accountability as the main countermeasures. In conclusion, Cyber Enforcing the New World Order is most relevant for readers interested in civil liberties, information control, public health controversy, surveillance technology, and critiques of administrative power. It will especially appeal to readers who already worry that governments and major institutions have gained too much influence over speech, media narratives, and acceptable opinion. The practical benefit of the book is that it provides a framework for recognizing how persuasion can operate through fear, repetition, authority, social pressure, online moderation, and data-driven targeting. Its intellectual benefit is that it links older concepts of propaganda and psychological operations to present debates over platform censorship, pandemic governance, and digital surveillance. Readers should approach it as an advocacy work with a strong viewpoint rather than as a neutral academic survey. Some claims and interpretations are disputed, particularly those involving COVID-19 policy and institutional motives. What makes the book stand out in its category is its combination of medical freedom politics, constitutional argument, psychological warfare vocabulary, and technology criticism. Many books criticize censorship or surveillance separately, but this one treats them as interconnected elements of a single system of social management. For sympathetic readers, that synthesis will be its strength. For skeptical readers, it offers insight into a significant contemporary critique of power, even where they may dispute the conclusions. If you would like to support Robert W. Malone, MD, MS, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.